And we've learned that God placed this purpose within our lives. Scripture says before he even created the world, he already had the purpose for your life. Before you were even born, Scripture told us a few weeks ago that God already had your purpose. And I pray here this morning, no matter what you may be going through, that you not only find your purpose, but that you activate it, that you fulfill your purpose. Because it's just not any ordinary purpose. It's a purpose that has been placed there by God Himself. That no addiction can stop, no failure can stop, no divorce can stop, no prison system can stop, not even no end time, darkened end time that we live in can stop what Jesus has placed within your life. So don't give up. Most all y'all know my testimony. I was a full-blown heroin addict for many years. OD'd 15 times, max prisons in California for over 7 years. I had given up. But just because I had given up did not mean that that purpose within me had given up, or the person that had placed that purpose within me had given up because of my many failures. God would speak to me behind prison bars, and he would move the purpose within my life. Even though I was just minding my own business, doing time with about a year for the outs, as we say, on the inside, looking out. The purpose would start to move within my life. God would start to speak to me. I just didn't understand what was taking place, but something within me that was good was moving. It was my purpose to fulfill within this lifetime. To be able to one day, 20 years later, be able to preach the gospel of the good news of Jesus. That I never on my wildest dreams on an acid trip would ever trip on being a pastor. I tripped on many things, on becoming many things, thinking I was many things, but never a pastor. Never to be going to church for the next 20 years of my life, committed to the gospel, committed to Jesus. And slowly but surely, by applying myself to the church and becoming committed through the help of people, my pastor, my purpose within me would start to develop of me being able to understand it and being able to run with it. By God using imperfect people. And here this day, I want to continue to speak on your God-given purpose. And I pray here this Sunday morning that you get visions to your God-given purpose within your life. Because there's a work for you to do here on this earth. There's a work, there's an assignment with your name all over it. An assignment that has been called by God for you to fulfill. There's no retirement plan on the purpose within you. A few weeks ago, I opened up with Isaiah chapter 46, verse 10. To allow us to see the way the Lord operates. Because too many times we're trying to fulfill our purpose, trying to figure out God the way we want to do it. But the Word of God says that His ways and His thoughts are higher than our ways and thoughts. So in order to understand and fulfill the purpose that God has placed within our lives, we got to see it the way God sees it. And in order to see it the way God sees it, we need to have an intimate relationship with God. An intimate relationship meaning one that is close. Because the enemy does not care that you have a purpose within your life that comes from God. Because the enemy also has a false purpose for your life. And for many of us, man, we did that one to death. And if we can fulfill the false purpose that the enemy had for our lives, to be deceived, to become under destruction, to become destruction, why cannot we fulfill the true purpose of God within our lives to be blessed and to be able to be no longer a vessel of dishonor, but one of honor? That God is able to use in these end darkened times, that He's able to flow through to bless your life in such a way that you would be able to be an ambassador of Christ, speaking the very words of Jesus. But there needs to be an intimate relationship with the Lord, because the storms will come. Doubt will come. And here the way of God in Isaiah 46:10, God says that I make known the end from the beginning. From ancient times, what is still to come, I say my purpose will stand, and I will do all that I please. So here we come to find out, I shared a few weeks through Scripture, that God don't start in the beginning like we go get a job and we go through an interview. Nowadays you get drug tested, amen, and you're checked out, and you someone is your shadow for a couple of days, couple of weeks, months, depending on the job. And you start at the beginning. In God, the way God sees things, He starts from the end, and then He starts at the beginning. He completes, and then He makes His way to the beginning, amen, where you would come into the church for the first time, receive Christ like I did in prison, amen. God does everything first, and then He goes back to the beginning to start with your life and my life, something that has already been completed by God. Your purpose right now has been 100% already completed by God. God ain't trying to figure out step by step, okay, Junior, now I went to church for 3 times in a row. Let me see, what do I do next? What? God starts at the end, and then He goes to the beginning. Amen? So if you're beginning in the things of the Lord, that totally really means in the way God sees it, everything's already complete within your life. The title of this morning message, the theme has this year has been The Time Is Now. And the title of this morning message is The Time Is Now to Activate Your Purpose. The time is now to activate your purpose. For some, the time is now to get back to your God-given purpose. Your reason for breathing, your reason for being here this morning. We all have purpose. No matter what color you are, you got purpose that comes from God within your life. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, 26 and 27, very well-known scriptures. Paul speaking, the Bible reads, therefore I do not run like a man running aimlessly. I do not fight like a man beating the air. No, I beat my body and make it my slave, so that after I have preached to others, I myself will not be disqualified for the prize. Simple points here this morning. In order for us to fulfill our purpose, we need to pursue our purpose. Yes, God's able to do all things, but he calls us to do our part as well. I put also here, in order for us to fulfill our God-given purpose, we need to pursue God, seek God. I put here, it's simple this morning, it's not going to happen on its own. Coming to church is a good start. Faith comes by hearing, amen, by hearing the word of the Lord. But here this morning, we need to activate our purpose within our lives. I put it, there's no way your body's going to submit to God's purpose for your life without you first submitting to God. There's no way your flesh, your body's going to submit to the purpose of God for your life without you first submitting to God. Dealing with relationship. I put here too many being disqualified because of the work of the flesh. Too many being disqualified because of the work of the flesh. Wanting to fulfill the purpose of self. You cannot fulfill the purpose of God within your life without pursuing God. Something took place the very first message I heard in Victory Outreach Salinas when I was fresh out of prison. On a Saturday, Sunday morning, I was at church with a pack of smoke sitting in the back row, posting up. I still thought I was on the prison yard, checking out the girls and all that, and I was still on a prison mode. But I was free, but I was still on the mentality that I was still locked up. And I would be cool in the back row, just checking it out, saying these people are crazy. I was born and raised the Catholic all my life. We were taught, shh. Mom would grab my ears and, ooh. Shh. You couldn't move, you couldn't giggle, you couldn't look to the left or to the right. You had to give reverence. So I was raised all my life, forced to go, being raised a Catholic, where everything was really quiet. So when I came to Victory Outreach, I was like, these people got issues. It looks like everybody's high up in this place. I would later find out that they were high on the Most High, Jesus Christ. All of a sudden, from acting cool and all posted up in the back, I would make the altar call and something through the message would take place within my life. The stirring of my purpose that took place in prison that I didn't understand, how that same feeling was taking place in the church house. It was taking place and I didn't understand it. By next Sunday service, I was one of those jumping up and down and just doing what everybody else was doing. Because I knew a few of those people that were jumping up and down in the church that used to jump up and down in the streets, getting high 24/7. And I knew at that point that God was real. And I knew at that point what was being stirred within my life was my purpose, my true reason for existence. God had a plan for my life. And I want to let you know here this morning, God's got a plan for your life, a purpose, an assignment that he will give you vision to. In the book of James, chapter 1, 5 and 8, another familiar portion of scripture, The Bible reads, if any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask God. Ask who? Too many times we ask the wrong people when we need wisdom. If any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask God. That once again calls for a relationship, an intimate one, one that believes that God can do it. If any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault. God wants to hook somebody up this morning that don't deserve it. It's called grace. Who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to him. But when he asks, he must believe and not doubt. A lot of times we have your prayer to God, God, man, change my husband, change my wife, my kids, oh, in the name of Jesus. And you finish prayer saying, they're never going to change, man. Them darn kids, man. There they go again. And there she goes again. There he goes again, man. This is, man. So we got to go beyond that religious type of praying that as soon as we finish praying, we go back to the same old, same old. But when he asks, he must believe and not doubt. Because he who doubts, it's like a wave of the sea blown and tossed by the wind. One day you're running this way, the other day you're running that way. Paul says, beating the air. Amen. Beating the air, running aimlessly, having no direction for your life. You're busy, you're going to work. You're providing for your children. But yet you're beating the air. You're missing the mark. And missing the mark in the Greek or the Hebrew, it is the meaning of sin, missing the mark. And too many times as Christians, we miss the mark because we're not pursuing the things of God. We're still trying to figure things out for ourselves. As if one day we're going to get lucky, the wife's going to behave herself, the husband's going to behave, the kids are going to behave themselves, and everything's going to be all good in the hood. Could God do that? Yes. Does it work that way? We can't allow our past to cause us to doubt. The promises and the word of God. You can't allow your past, you can't allow your fears to question what God says for your life. Because he has never let us down to the place where we should doubt. After praying and asking of him. And that's why I always preach having an intimate relationship with the Lord. A true relationship with the Lord. So instead of having hands on board trying to change this and this, all of a sudden it's, God, this is your baby here. I've tried to no avail. God, I need you. My son needs you. My daughter needs you. My marriage needs you. My husband needs you. I'm going to step back for you can step in this equation that hasn't worked for 5 years, 10 years, 20 years of me doing it the way I want to do it. Some of you need to wake up here this Sunday morning. That the way we do business don't work. But God has a certain way of operating. And if we want to be those recipients of the blessings of God, we need to do it His way. You cannot think for a moment here this morning that you continue business as usual, but yet leave this morning expecting the promises of God to shower upon your life. Doubting, being in fear, when you're indecisive, life will continue to run you over. Should I do it? Should I not? See, when you're a man of purpose, you're driven. You know what God has called you to do. When you're a woman of purpose and you know what your assignment is, no matter what steps in, you say, nope, God put this purpose in my life. I know it's going to come to pass because God put it there. I'm going to pursue God. And no matter what tries to step in on the good race that I'm running, and even if I fall, I'm going to get back up because I know this purpose is not from man. This purpose that keeps moving within my life is from God. This morning, not a one of you all are failure. Because you got the purpose of God within your life. We need to know this morning that if we continue to think indecisive and, gosh, should I do it? You know, I'm going to try it. I'm going to go do it this way, and then I'm going to try it again the same way like I did 2 weeks ago. And we're going back and forth. We're trying to figure out this mess. And why we're not getting the results that we're after. The results that come from being a man of purpose, a woman of purpose, a youth of purpose, fulfilling your purpose that is from God. When you're indecisive, life will continue to run over you. People will continue to pass you by in the church that are fulfilling the purpose that is from God within their lives. And we will continue to point the finger by saying, every time you point, there's three pointing right back at you. Question, how bad do you want to fulfill your purpose? When I got saved, I didn't know nothing about purpose. My purpose was to be a failure and to never have success, to never have victory. And it was just a matter of time that I was going to be going back to prison the third time. But God had a plan for my life. Tell your neighbor, God's got a plan for your life. How bad do you want to fulfill God's purpose for your life? Are you willing to pursue it? Are you willing to put some things to an end that you know are not of God, that's hindering you from pursuing God wholeheartedly? You can pursue God wholeheartedly and still fall short on a daily basis, because God says we all fall short. But as a shepherd of the church, I know when men, women, or youth are pursuing the things of God. And even though they still have handicaps, so to speak, within their lives, faults, I say it's just a matter of time, and God's going to hook up that brother. God's going to hook up that sister. It's just a matter of time. They're pursuing the things of God. They're getting connected. If you really want to fulfill the purpose of God within your life, simple points I put then, you need to get involved in the church. There's a season to hear the word. There's a season for the cleansing, the sanctification and all that. But I want to let you know that during the season of the cleansing and the washing and the sanctification, you can get involved. You can get involved. I don't ask how much you make on your salary and to be a committed member, a full member, pledge member of the church. I need to know how much you make it. You need to be a tither and all this stuff. I leave that unto you, between you and the Lord. I know the crowd the Lord has brought in the doors this morning. I could say it's not the goody-goody crowd, but I could also say that every last one of y'all have the purpose of God within your life. And if He did it for me, He can do it for you. You then need to get involved in the church. You cannot fulfill your purpose and vision on your own. Can't do it. Your purpose and vision within your life is connected to people, not only connected to God. Pastor, I don't like working with people, and I don't like that. I really don't like that, sister pastor. That brother, man, pastor. Somebody had to work with you. Now you, all of a sudden you forget what you looked like when you walked in, what you were acting like, what you were talking like, smelling like. You cannot fulfill your purpose and vision on your own. We have an international wide world vision, Victor Outreach. We're in over 33 countries right now and counting. And pretty soon we're going to be in Jacksonville, Florida, right, Pastor Jamie and Sister Tammy? Sooner or later, they don't know, but they got a big process they got to go through until touchdown. I've seen it done too many times. My pastor knows all the talk that goes around in the big circles of our ministry. The stuff sometimes they make people do to get finally to their destination. We have a worldwide international vision. God gave a vision to our founder, Pastor Sonny Argazzoni. He gave him a vision, a purpose, not only to have rehab homes all over the world, but also churches, where the guys once graduating the rehab could fit into a church that would take them in. There are some of you here this morning that most churches wouldn't take. Metal detector would go off at the door, and hey, wasn't he on the Most Wanted, America's Most Wanted, a couple years back ago? Yeah, he's God's Most Wanted now. Our founder has a vision, a purpose that was given to God. And as we come under our founder that comes under God, all of a sudden by partaking to this worldwide movement that's taking place right now, amen, you start to find your purpose, vision that God has for your life, coming under the vision that God has given one man. Right now, many, many, many members all over the world of Victory Outreach know their purpose and vision, that God operated to connect the dots through one man, one family. We have a vision. We have a mission statement here in Victory Outreach. Amen? Most of you guys got it memorized. I don't. Amen? So that's why I'm not going to quote it. When I did the ministerial license, I had it all memorized. That was many years ago. I forgot it. It's in my heart. Are you committed to your purpose and vision? Are you committed to your purpose and vision that is greater than who you are? See, the purpose and vision that God has for your life is greater than who you are alone. You not only need to connect with God, you need to learn to connect with people to fulfill your purpose. that God has placed within your life. I always say we were all car salesmen. We would talk about cars and makes and models. But we're Christians, so we talk about people. Well, that church judges a lot, talks a lot, and pastor was talking about this. But yeah, I work with people. I talk about people. Sometimes good and sometimes bad. It's what I do. Are you committed to your purpose and vision that is greater than you are? We all need one another's help here this day. And not a one of us here this day, not even your pastor, is perfect. But the one that gave us the purpose and vision, he knows what he's doing. But we're going to have to do our part. Some of you are expecting miracles and signs and wonders and the writings on the wall by God. But you're not committed. You're not in position. And you're looking for results that you're not getting. The people that are being used of God, fulfilling their purpose right now in the church, are those that are being committed. God, listen to what I'm saying right now. The people right now currently that are fulfilling their purpose, receiving visions from God, are the ones that are committed right now to the church. I put here, you can't be committed outside of being involved. Amen? Just little simple tongue twisters right there. You can't be committed outside of being involved. You're not that good. Luke chapter 17, 11 through 14. Real familiar portion of a reading here of scriptures. I was just going to give a few stories in the Bible to make my point. Then I got stuck on the first story. Amen. So we're going to stay in the book of Luke chapter 17 right now. Amen. Amen. Let's read from 17, 11 through 14. This is dealing with the 10 leopards. Amen. Luke chapter 17, verse 11 through 14. And the Bible reads, "Now on his way to Jerusalem, Jesus traveled along the border between Samaria and Galilee. As he was going into a village, 10 men who had leprosy met him. They stood at a distance and called out in a loud voice, 'Jesus, Master, have pity on us.' When he saw them, he said, 'Go, show yourself to the priest.' And as they went, they were cleansed." Let's keep reading. "One of them, when he saw he was healed, came back praising God in a loud voice. He threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him. And he was a Samaritan." Here scripture tells us that there was 10 leopards that had leprosy that there was no cure for. I'm not going to break down the story. I'm just going to pull a little bit from it here and give me a few more minutes. I'm trying to use those preaching points. Now, that didn't sound good, right? because everybody knows I'm long-winded. Amen. It was 10 lepers, the Bible says, and there were, they could see Jesus. And they were at a distance, the Bible says. And because they were at a distance, they said, "Jesus, Master, have pity on us." They were able to see Jesus passing by. He was at a distance, so they had to yell loud. I put here, they were desperate with nothing to lose. Desperate with nothing to lose. Just maybe, if anybody could do what is impossible for man, it would be Jesus. And I believe there's some of you here this morning that are going through something that your many years of experience in Jesus, that your education, that your job cannot see you through. There's something going on in your life right now that once again has allowed you to become desperate, unashamed, to call out in a loud voice the name of Jesus. There's times that the only one that can see us through is Jesus. And I believe that's why people just don't come to church for one Sunday, but they keep coming. Because there's always something still left within us that allows us to be desperate to know that if Jesus was able to take the addiction from my life, He just might possibly be able to take this from my life. Too many Christians come desperate, but with time, they're no longer desperate. They're now healed. They're now delivered. There's no addiction no more. They got a job. A J-O-B, they got a beautiful car that they make sure is clean even on a rainy, muddy day. They got to wash it. They don't want nobody sitting in it. They were desperate. They had nothing to lose. Verse 14 says, when he saw them, I think Jesus was like, dun, 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 dun. You know, just walking. He was just walking by, amen? He was about to enter the village, the Bible says. And he heard somebody call out his name, and he was like, what them 10 crazy lepers want? I don't know about you, man, but I remember when I used to call out the name of Jesus. When my life was all messed up and nobody was looking, I was like, Jesus, help me. Help me, Lord, I need you. Then the homies would come around and I'd start walking all hard again. And I'd post up and I would act like a gangster. And I was never a gangster. You could do enough years in prison and you start walking like one, looking like one. What? I was a drug addict. Jesus was making his way to the village. He was about to enter the village, the Bible says. And he heard his name called out. The Bible says when he saw them. In my little notes I put here, I believe that there were a lot more lepers in that location. The Bible says, I'm not sure what the verse is, as he was going into verse 12. Verse 12 says, as he was going into a village. In other words, he was on the outskirts, about to make his way into the village. The outskirts where the lepers would be kept out of the village, amen. I believe when he looked, there was all kinds of leopards out there. But he noticed these 10 that were calling his name. The other ones were still carrying on as leopards would carry on, as sin carries on today in the day and age that we live in. There's some out there that are calling out for the help of Jesus. And there's some that are still in the mix, not needing a Savior yet. But one day too, they will be calling upon the name of Jesus. The Bible says at the coming of the Lord that every knee shall bow and confess Jesus as Lord. Do it now while it'll count and make a difference of your eternity and destination of heaven. Because if you wait for the Lord, it could just be too late. As he was going into the village, he heard his name called out. And I believe he looked, and there was all kinds of sinners out there, all kinds of leopards. But within that crowd of rejects, Samaritans, that would never, ever receive their healing or ever received Jesus within their lives. See, I believe, she's got a point, I believe that it was our purpose within us that called out to Jesus. I believe those 10 leopards, though there were leopards and there were outcasts, and the one that came back was a Samaritan, we come to find out through Scripture, I believe it was the purpose that God had placed within their life, even though they were in the condition of leprosy that there was no cure for. They all, my whole family said that I would never change, that I would die a drug addict, that nothing could save me. And that was true in the ability of man. But then Jesus, I'm the shot caller here. It's my purpose that shall prevail in his life. It's my agape, unconditional love that I have for him that's going to prevail one day. One day, he will no longer be looked as an outcast. One day, he'll be preaching my gospel. One day, he will no longer be the man that he thinks he is, the man that he thinks he's going to die, going straight to hell. One day, my purpose shall prevail. And I believe Jesus heard his name. And these 10 leopards' purpose was moved within their life, even though they were under the circumstances of death. The wages of sin is death. They were going to die without Jesus. They were going straight to hell, but they called out in a loud voice from a distance. I believe it was their purpose. It was their time for God to touch their lives and bring the end and start the beginning for their lives. Even though they were leopards, a people like you and I, leprosy in the Old Testament always represented sin. You're quicker to get a healing for leprosy than you are a healing from sin. No doctor can go into your heart and remove sin from your heart. Only the physician of physicians, Jesus, can remove that sin from your life. But you got to call upon the name of Jesus. And after standing, you need to stand some more. Instead of coming with excuses. Because the purpose within your life is greater than any excuse you can come up with. The power of God in your life is greater than any weakness in your life this day. I'm a witness that Jesus is still able to heal, still able to call out But I believe before the Lord calls out your name, that we need to call out his name, the name of Jesus. And I believe the purpose within these 10 lepers, all of a sudden the purpose started moving within their lives. Jesus at a distance was walking by. They called out with a loud voice. When he saw them, the Bible verse 12 says he was about to enter the village. Then his name got called out. We're about to enter hell. But then God used the man, God used the woman to lead your life, guide your life. Verse 14 says, as they went, that they were cleansed, they were healed. See, when you're desperate, you will follow instructions. When you're desperate, you will follow the instructions of God, as ridiculous as they may sound. When guys come into the rehab, especially the second or third time into the rehab, Pastor, I promise I'll do anything. You ain't going to get one problem out of me. I promise. They're desperate. Willing to do anything. I said it's one thing to follow God's lead when we're desperate. But how about when things are going good? You get a job, you get hooked up, you finally get that rib, you got kids now, getting paid good money. Do you still follow the lead of the Lord? Because out with a relationship with the Lord, you will never fulfill the purpose within your life. God makes sure to shake everybody's purpose and awaken it to fulfill. And even though these were 10 lepers that were doomed to death, they called upon the name of Jesus. I OD'd 15 times dead. That's besides flying bullets, jumping out of hotels, and jumping out of cars going down the freeway. Yeah. I didn't jump into another car. I jumped out of the car, rolling like a rag doll forever through addiction. But how about when everything's going good? Do you still come to the Lord? Are you still led of the Lord? Once your life becomes blessed and he starts moving, are you still saying, Jesus, whatever you want, I'll do it? Or do you get it to a place of becoming complacent and, yeah, I ain't going to church tomorrow. Just tell them I'm busy. Got to go to work. And we forget that we were all leopards that didn't have a cure. Mom and dad couldn't save us. Our own children couldn't save us. There was only one, and his name is Jesus. In verse 17 and 19, the Bible tells us that just one of the 10 came back to thank Jesus. Even though he was healed, even though I haven't touched a drug in 20 years or a drop of alcohol, I never get tired of sharing my testimony. I haven't touched a cigarette in 20 years. One woman, 18 years. If you're a goody-goody, you say, big deal, but if you were like I was, that's signs and wonders and miracles. That's nothing but the hand of God. That's my bragamony, I mean my testimony of what God's able to do in a man's life and a woman's life that pursues their purpose, that continues to follow the lead of the Lord, not only in desperate times, but also in the good times. See, I believe it's the good times that catch men and women slipping. than the bad times. Been doing this for a while now. And verse 19, Jesus was once looking at them as he saw them at a distance. Now this man comes back, and he's at the feet of Jesus, the Bible says. Why? He was no longer a leper. He was physically healed. He came back to say thank you. Jesus looked at him. In verse 19, he said to him, "Rise and go, your faith has made you well." I did a preaching on that maybe 10 years ago, that he would get his spiritual healing. Or healed already physically, but now he would get an inner spiritual healing that was more important than the physical healing. The first one, they were desperate. They had to go do something. As they went, the Bible says, they were healed. This second one, he was simply at the feet of Jesus. Jesus spoke it. He didn't have to do nothing. You see, sometimes just simply being grateful for what the Lord has done will continue to inwardly wash your life of the pollution of this world, the pollution of the past. On this one, he didn't have to go to the priest or go do this or go do that. On his part, he did the go. You got to stay with me, amen? On his part, he did the go with a grateful heart by simply the physical healing that he got. He was at the feet of Jesus. And Jesus knows how to count. He went, 1, 2, he 10, 10, 10. That's what they do in Sesame Street. At least that's what I watch. I don't even really have Sesame Street nowadays. Cartoons for kids are out of this world now. This time, this guy was just there at the feet of Jesus. There's some things the Lord can do that wouldn't come any other way. The first one, the healing, the physical, was done at a distance. The second one was done when this man, just from having a grateful heart, was inwardly cleansed, was transformed, saved, all that that comes with it. There's two types of loud voices, and the first one was a loud voice of desperation when all 10 called. This guy didn't forget how to be loud. The Bible says he came loud praising the Lord. Jesus was able to distinguish the loud cry of one of desperation from the one of gratefulness. And sometimes we forget to be grateful simply for what Jesus has already done. That alone should keep you to what he's about to do in your life. Simply by what he took you out of should allow you to come back with a grateful heart to say thank you. But sometimes as people, and even as Christians, as believers, we can miss being grateful of what the Lord has already done. For his spiritual healing, all he had to be was grateful. I put here, his purpose was put into action by being grateful. His purpose went into action by being grateful and by having faith. The Bible says, your faith has made you whole. I believe those other nine leopards didn't fulfill their God-given purpose. Because they were not grateful. They were just physically healed. I believe in a matter of time, they ended up outside the village again. An outcast. A reject through choice. His purpose was put into action by being grateful. I put here that the one that healed him, that started the work, he came to a heavy revelation that was simple within his life. He says, if he was able to heal me, and even though he's seen himself physically healed of leprosy, there was still something within his life yet to be done that was still hindering him from feeling like all the other nine guys were. There was still a void in his life, even though he was physically healed. His purpose was still shaking within him. And he said to himself, this is me thinking, if he was able to do what no one could do about my leprosy, I'm going to allow my gratefulness to go back to him. Because if he was able to take care of my outer condition, he's surely able to take care of my inner condition that no one can see, that no one knows about. But this man called Jesus. Some of you that have been delivered, God has done miracles, and you can't believe God for the next step of faith in your life. And a lot of times that takes place because we forget what he has done. The nine forgot. Minutes later, they forgot of the power of the word of the God, the power of the instructions of God. They forgot. They were so caught up in their healing. They were so caught up that they were able to go back to mom's house. Their mom wasn't hiding the purse no more. That they were locking up the bedrooms, closing the blinds, turning off the lights no more. When yet, there was still an inner work that needed to take place in their lives that a job could not do, that a prettiest woman could not do, that a man could not do, that no amount of money could do. But only Jesus could do. His purpose was put into action by his gratefulness. That the one that healed him, that was able to start the work, could also finish the work. I put here and close, in the outer miracle that Jesus performed brought faith to the inner work and purpose that was in his life. As the worship team comes forward. There's a lot of people going to church and God has healed them. But they're not fulfilling their purpose. Sometimes it takes the presence of God to bring you back to your purpose. Where faith, along with purpose, once again is stirred up and says, man, I've been making excuses, man. I know better. I know God's word. I've been making excuses. I'm no longer going to let that man, that woman, that child keep me from fulfilling my purpose because they're depending on me to fulfill my purpose. Sometimes we just come up with some good stuff, and we got to say it over and over in order for us to believe it. And then we say it over and over to the next person to get them to believe it. And life, once again, is running right over you. There's one thing I am and I know that has kept me for 20 years, and that's been grateful of what the Lord has done in my life. Every morning, I remember what He took me out, not to reminisce on the past, but to reminisce on the greatness of Jesus in my life, to ponder on the purpose that He placed in my life, that nothing of this world or the enemy or any evil spirit could remove. And here this day, what took place with me 20 years ago, it's once again moving through the sanctuary. But are you going to be grateful? Are you going to be committed? Jesus sent that one leper on his way. And I believe he ended up probably at his family's house. But he didn't end up like the other nine there at their family's house. He had a word. He was whole. Not just looking good on the outside, but set free from the inside. He was no longer a leper from without and from within. Jesus spoke his word, and it healed them and made them whole. And I believe there's some people here this morning that the Lord wants to make whole. And as He's doing that work, that purpose all of a sudden is going to be activated. It's just like the defibrillator, whatever you call it, it's going to get that heart going back again, once again beating for God. Once again coming alive. Once again, remembering in what God did in your life. And knowing if He did that, it's because He wants to do something now. Not only in your life, but through your life. Hard times will come. Baby, get used to them. But the purpose within our lives is greater. Your purpose needs to be greater than your pain here this morning. I want to let you know that Jesus is real. He's alive. He's active here right now. And what He says He can do, He can do. You might have walked in with doubt. I will share my testimony, because if I just keep talking and try to stay polished and, you know, he's the pastor. He's supposed to have it going on. No, I don't. I have it going on. I have my decision to make on a daily basis to have it going on and spending time with Jesus. I thank the Lord with all my heart this day. That's why to see my cousins here, get out of here. Hera would ask me, hey, so how's your dad doing? He's gone. Mom, he's gone. And last time we talked, they were all alive. That was a heavy statistic in the clip that they asked 100 old people. What they regret is not what they did, is what they didn't do. Because we all been appointed a time of death. Amen? Amen.